Welcome to Live Well Long, where we deliver life-enhancing, empowering messages for body, mind, and spirit to those seeking to get the most out of life, who have a zest for learning and know that learning must be an ongoing activity to achieve a vibrant, thriving life. This is your host, Alexandra Van Horn. Stay tuned for another episode of Live Well Long. Hey everyone, this is Alexandra with Live Well Long, where we discuss all things body, mind, or spirit, and or spirit, to help you live well long. And today's guest is an extremely interesting and wonderful guest. She is the owner of Kiasi Technology Solutions, is a learning and development professional with 16 years of creating effective learning experiences to her credit. She's a graduate of Florida International University, Barry University, California State University, Long Beach, and a 22-year member of the illustrious Delta Sigma Theta sorority. Diagnosed with life-threatening and end-stage renal failure at the age of 24, she's passionate about sharing her story to spread awareness and inspire others to register as organ, eye, and tissue donors to save lives. As an ambassador for One Legacy, a public education and family support organization, she shares her personal journey through diagnosis, treatment, and kidney transplantation at community events with local medical professionals, the general public, to honor the second chance at life that she received in November of 2010. She currently serves as a software analyst on the university campus and resides in Southern California. So let's welcome Simone Washington. Welcome, Simone. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you here. And I'm just so inspired by your story. I mean, really, I mean, Live Well Long is all about whatever we can do to live well longer, right? And yes. you certainly have done some things. Yes. So tell me, so you, at age 24, you get this diagnosis. What was that like? What was that like for you? And yeah, it's a young age.
Yes, it was pretty scary because before that time, I had never needed to go to the hospital for any reason. I had never been sick other than the common cold over the years. So to get sick in that way and having to go to the emergency room and getting that diagnosis was shocking and also scary because I wasn't sure what it meant right away. And sure. If it meant the end of my life right then, or I just didn't know what to think.
Yeah, of course. So then from the diagnosis to the actual transplant, what happened in between there? What was that like? How long was it? And what did you have to do to manage life during that time?
So it was about a 5-year period of time. Mm-hmm. The first thing that was done was that the doctors decided on a cocktail of medicines to offer the opportunity just to stabilize my kidney functions for as long as possible. So each of the medicines would have a year that I could be on them before the benefits or before the side effects will outweigh the benefits. So over the next 2 years, I was on two different medicines.
Before the benefits would outweigh the side effects. Like the side effects were the first thing that you experienced. Got it. Okay. Just to make sure. Okay.
Well, they put me on the medicine in order to stabilize my kidney function. But after being on it for a year, then right. The side effects would outweigh the benefit of taking it.
Yeah, right. That's what I thought you meant. Okay, got it.
So there were two different ones that I could use in that way. So that was the first 2 years. And then after that, I had to start dialysis. Okay. And so I was working full time. I was an elementary school teacher at the time. And then I would go after work to dialysis. It would take 4 hours at a time, 3 times a week. So you can imagine that I was exhausted after.
Yeah, that's a whole lifestyle. I mean, that's, yeah.
So I didn't have much of a social life during that time. Mm-hmm. I would just go to work and go to treatment every other day. And that was about it, really, for
And what was treatment like? I mean, was it uncomfortable? Were you sitting there grading papers? Well, I mean, I don't know anything about it. So for our listeners as well, what's that like?
Yes. So before starting dialysis, I needed to have surgery on my arm to create a pathway for dialysis to happen. And so they tied a vein and an artery together to make a wider pathway for the blood to flow so that it could flow properly. So what happens during dialysis is that there are two tubes that get put into that fistula, right. One for the blood to flow out right. into right. the machine to get cleaned, which is what our kidneys naturally do. Right. And then flows back in through the other two back into
yeah.
yes, and it takes 4 hours because we can't be without a certain amount of blood at a time in our bodies before we faint and have other issues. So it's a slow cycle of cleaning the blood every few days or every other day.
So
you're basically in a chair. They're really comfortable, like recliner type chairs with a faux leather, so they can be easily cleaned, and they're nice and cushiony, but you can't move because your arm has to stay. So right, whatever yeah. you can do with your other arm while you're there for 4 hours, so maybe you're watching TV, maybe you're on your phone, making calls or on social media or
whatever you can do with one hand.
Maybe you're reading a book. Maybe you're taking a nap.
Right.
Maybe you're having a snack.
Right. Wow. And is there a reason that they choose one arm over the other as far as the, you know, the strength or the proximity to the kidneys or anything?
Traditionally, they try to put the fistula on the arm that you're not writing with.
Makes sense.
Because after treatment, you know, there's a... you know, you're healing from having the tubes because it's not a normal size needle like you would get to draw blood. Okay. They're actually much bigger to have that flow.
Right.
So over time, there's scar tissue that builds up around the two ports from getting pierced there every week, three times. Mm-hmm. So they usually try to use the opposite arm, and I'm left-handed, so mine is on the right arm.
Got it. Wow. So once the port was in, they kept on reusing the port, even though there's scar tissue that builds up, they keep reusing it and the scar tissue, I guess, somehow. Wow.
Yes. So there's a separate set of doctor's appointments where we have to go to a specialist to maintain the fistula, make sure it's a clean flow, and anything that might be in the way of the blood flow, they can clean it out. So that includes sedation. And so it's a standing appointment every so often to make sure the fistula is staying well.
Wow. So after that, so you had the dialysis, and then how long did you have the dialysis before you had the transplant?
Well, while I was on dialysis, I began the process of applying to be added to the transplant list. So mm-hmm. before this, I just assumed that anyone who needed a kidney was automatically added to the list. But that is not the case. You actually have to go through a series of doctor's appointments and get tests done to get clearance to prove that you're otherwise healthy before you are given or put on the list. And so the list that I was given had 38 different tests and clearances that I needed to complete in order to be added to the list. And if you can imagine having to make all of those doctor's appointments, waiting for the appointments, getting the test done, waiting for the results, and then reporting those results to the powers that be. So it took me over a year to get that done.
Just to get the test, just to get on the list.
Correct.
Wow.
So a lot of people who are on dialysis, especially older folks, they get a list that's similar and they just get deterred just by the length of the list and knowing like how long that's going to take and how much effort that's going to take, because maybe you don't have family members to help you get to the doctor's appointments or help you make them. Maybe you don't have transportation. And so some people choose not to go on the list, not because they don't want to be on it, but because of the process of getting on, which is unfortunate. So I do try to encourage those who feel that way to reconsider decision, because dialysis is not a long-term solution to kidney failure. It just isn't. And so we really do need to get the transplant in order to even get that done. If you don't have a family member or a friend or someone who is a match who is willing to be a living donor, you have to get on that list to live well longer.
So then you got on the list, and then how long after a year of testing, then you got on the list, and then how long after that till you got a kidney?
It was about another year and a half or so. Once I got on the list, I did begin to get called by the hospital. And so what the process is that whenever there is a kidney that has become available, whoever is the closest match is the person who gets it. And so when there becomes a kidney available, the hospital calls 3 to 5 people who may be a match to come in to do blood work. And the person that is the closest match out of those 5 are the ones that they call back to say, we have a kidney for you. And then they go through the process of getting them to the hospital and starting the surgery.
Right.
So that happened for me about 6 different times.
The roller coaster ride you must have been on. Oh my gosh.
Because it's usually from the time that you get the call and you go down to the hospital and give the blood, it takes 4 to 8 hours before you hear back to say yay or nay.
Right. And
sometimes they don't even call you back because they're so busy trying to get the person who is going to surgery.
Well, they have a kidney on ice, I presume, right?
And so sometimes I've had to call them and say, hey, what's going on with this? But I kind of already figured that it's probably not me.
If they didn't call you right away. Yeah. You would know if you were picked. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So you can imagine how emotional that is, just, you know, over and over, just being hopeful that this is your turn, and then it turns out not to be. So after the 4th or 5th call, I got discouraged. And even though I answered the call every time and I went down to do the blood work, I didn't really feel as hopeful as like the first call.
Right.
And so by the time I got the 7th call, which was the one for me, like I had gone that morning to give blood and then I went about my day. Like I didn't even think about it anymore. Like I forced it out of my mind. Just
right. They might be another one of those disappointments. Yeah.
And then they called me at 9:30 at night. I was at home. I was watching a movie and they called. I didn't even look to see who was calling. I was just so involved in the movie that I just.
I'll bet you remember the movie you were watching, right?
Yes. I was watching 4 Colored Girls. I know the scene that I was watching at the time that the call came in.
Sure.
And so I wasn't even hearing properly, you know, when the nurse said, we have a kidney for you. We need you to come down to the hospital by midnight so you can check in.
Wow. I just got chills, like bingo, right? Oh gosh, wow.
And of course, this would be the time where I couldn't reach anybody on the phone. So I called my parents. I had to leave a message. I called a few friends, like just letting them know
that you're going.
One, it's just like, you know, luck of the draw. And so what I did was I just changed the voicemail message on my answering service. I posted a message on Facebook, just letting people know where I would be. And then I headed to the hospital.
Yeah.
And by 2 a.m., I was talking to the anesthesiologist. And by 7 a.m. on November 18th, I was waking up after a successful surgery.
Wow. So that was, so from the time you were diagnosed till the time you had the surgery was what, 3 or 4 years?
Five years.
5 years. Okay. Wow. So for the folks that are listening that are thinking, oh, wow, I hope I have healthy kidneys. Like what are some ways that you've learned? Obviously, you probably are on a very, I'm assuming a careful lifestyle regimen now to protect your kidneys, right?
Yes. What
do you do or what do you recommend people do to maintain kidney health?
So the number one piece of advice I have just in general is to pay attention to your body, because our bodies tell us in the way that it knows how whenever there is something wrong. And so if we're not paying attention, we may miss those signs and signals that could help us get preventative care. Mm-hmm. And so for me, when I was getting sick or when my kidneys were failing, of course, I didn't know that that was what was going on. But what was happening in my body is that I was thirsty all the time and I was drinking a lot of fluids, but I noticed that I wasn't outputting at the same rate.
Okay.
And then I'm a pretty slim person, so I started retaining water in my ankles, and it's really easy not to notice that if you're just not used to paying attention to these things. And so, and then I wasn't feeling well, I couldn't keep any food down. So the symptoms that I was having didn't tell me that my kidneys were failing, but it did tell me that something was wrong.
Right. And your body was processing what it needed to process. Yeah.
Yes. So I went to the hospital to see what was going on.
Right.
But since then, and like through the dialysis process and after transplantation, you know, the doctors are really adamant about helping us know what are some good practices. And the number one thing is always to eat well and drink a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
And to exercise mm-hmm. at least 3 to 5 times a week, at least 30 minutes a day, whenever you have a moment to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And just practice mindfulness,
mm-hmm.
like managing stress. Like we know that there is good stress and bad stress, and just trying to manage the bad stress as much as possible. Like if there are ways to prevent or avoid the bad stress, like try to just eliminate as much of it as you can. It's not possible to eliminate all, but if there are some things that you know are stressful and it's something that is optional, then opt out.
Right. Take care of your stress level for sure. Right.
Yeah.
And do they ever get involved with, you know, the conversation, vegetarian, carnivore, omnivore? Do they have an opinion on that, did you find?
Well, I asked a lot of questions, and I did ask, does it matter if I am one or the other? Will it help, you know, in the overall health of my body now that I have this precious gift that I want to take care of?
Right.
But ultimately, it doesn't help to be a vegetarian because there are some important elements and vitamins and good mm-hmm. things that the body needs in the meat.
Mm-hmm.
And so unless you want to have the supplements, which isn't the best for someone who has gone through kidney disease,
right?
It's just better to get it from the natural sources so that your body can process them naturally.
Right.
Because with having supplements, and I am on some supplements because I right now I'm low in iron, so I do take supplements for that,
mm-hmm.
and also vitamin D. It's always important to drink a lot of water,
mm-hmm.
Even more than you normally would, just to make sure that the byproducts of those supplements get pushed out as they should be.
Right. The rule of thumb I've always heard and pretty much live by is your body weight divided by 2, and that would be the number of ounces. So like if you weigh, like say somebody weighs 150, it would be 75 ounces of water a day, assuming obviously mm-hmm. a healthy body that's processing it and can handle that water.
Yes.
That I adhere to. So that's what you've heard also, that's what you
yes.
live by.
Yes, that's a good way to determine the amount.
Okay, great.
And it's not to say that you can't have anything else, any other fluids. Definitely indulge in those as well. But your primary way to stay hydrated should be water, just because, as you've heard before, like, our body is made up of 70% water, so you always want to be replenishing that. And whenever you're exercising, you know, you're expelling that water, so you want to replenish it with water and electrolytes and all those things, just to stay hydrated.
Yeah, I remember from years ago when I was working out in the corporate world, around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd hit a slump. I'd be at my desk. I'd be like, you know, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
And just to break up the mood, whatever, I would just get up and go for a drink of water, because that was something you could do. There's either the bathroom or the water fountain. You know, those are the two choices, you know.
Yes.
So I would get a drink of water, and then I would notice I would feel much better. And I'm like, maybe there's something to this. And I was dehydrated too.
And I know for me, it's not easy to drink that much water throughout the day. And so one of the things that have helped me is just have like a fun mug or tumbler or cup or thing that you enjoy looking at. And that helps you to remember to drink the water. Because every time you see it, you're like, oh, that's a pretty cup. Oh, I should be drinking water. Let me take a sip. So that's been very helpful. So I have all different tumblers and cups and mugs and things to help me remember to drink water often. And I know some people don't like to drink water a lot because it does have you go to the restroom often, especially when we're at work and you just want to stay focused on the project at hand. But it is important to drink the water, and it does give you a break in between projects or in between thoughts about your project to go and, you know, walk to the restroom, and you come back with new fresh ideas, because you've taken that break. And it's just important. And so once you get into that routine, you know, it becomes second nature.
Years ago, when I, you know, decided, okay, I'm going to drink, you know, half my body weight in water in ounces, I was shopping for a water bottle, and I found one. It was like at Whole Foods. And at the time, it was a Camelback water bottle. And they had a tag on it that said, you know, it's been shown that when you have a bottle like this, and of course it was marketing, but it has a straw in it. So you can sip it. So even if I'm driving, you know, or like a regular water bottle, you got to go like this, you know, or a cup, you have to go like this. But this I carry. So now the one I have is called Contigo, and it's got the straw on the bottom, and you just, you know, I usually have it right by me. I don't have it right now. But it's great. And I just refill it, and it's like a couple times a day. And I know I've had my quota, which is great. And then, you know, I'm like a little kid with it. Like, I don't leave the house without my bottle.
Yes. Yes. So one of my favorites is right here. It's Starbucks.
Oh, there you go.
Little tumbler here. It's a rose gold, and I haven't seen anyone else with that one specifically, but I love the color. It makes me feel very, you know, fashionable.
Right.
And it's 24 ounces. So if I fill that up three times throughout the day, then I've hit my goal.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So you're on a mission to help other people. Number one, like, if they need a kidney, to believe that they should apply and keep, you know, go through the procedure. And then you're also on a mission to help people become donors. And so besides going to the DMV, we all know that, you know, you can check that off on when you renew your license. What are some other ways to register to be a donor?
Well, the good thing about technology and the internet is that we have several ways now online where we could register. So you don't have to physically go to the DMV anymore for that reason if you don't want to. DMV has a place on their website, so dmv.org. You can register there. We have donatelife.net, which is a huge organization. It's nationwide, and they're all about educating the community about the importance of registering. So donatelife.net is a place where you can go, and then I have my own website where, because I am an ambassador with One Legacy, which partners with Donate Life. So they created this e-campaign for me where my story is listed and people can go and register there as well. And that is register.donatelifecalifornia.org forward slash Simone Story. And my name, Simone, is spelled Simone. So Simone's Story.
Awesome. And those links will all be in the show notes, folks. So if you're driving and you didn't get to write them down, or for whatever reason, they'll be in the show notes with this podcast. So how have you reinvented yourself over the years? I mean, it's been an interesting journey. You were a teacher, and then you had this surprise diagnosis, and now what?
Yes. So since then, it's kind of like a forced reinvention, right? Because I was this certain person before. I had just finished graduate school before being diagnosed. So I had just started a brand new job. And then I went through this journey of staying healthy and getting treated and ultimately transplantation. And so what life looks like after that is that I decided to move to California. A few years later, I started a whole new career here, which I love. I love that one too, but just the opportunity to try something different and try it on for size, you know, that has been fun. And try on a new state, you know, and see how that feels. And I've been here for 8 years and I really do love it here. You know, going through the trials of dating and getting to know people and making new friends here and networking. I've started my own business and just having time with family and friends to create memories.
Yeah.
It's something that I truly treasure. And I just am so grateful to have the opportunity to do this and be here and talk to you and just share my story. I've recently graduated with a second master's degree, and this time it's in educational technology and media leadership. I really do believe that this subject is just a happy marriage of my educational background and my career experience, and I really do love to teach others and share knowledge and just having the opportunity to do those things. I really do just enjoy.
Right. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. You really have just taken what you had, which is nice because the educational portion, you didn't completely abandon it. Now you're incorporating it into your new venture, which is very nice. Nice. And so we talked about the name of your technology company. Do you want to explain to folks what it means and all that good stuff?
Yes. So I was very intentional in deciding the name of my company because I just didn't want it to be just the name. I did want it to have some meaning. And so Kiasi is a Swahili word that means temperance. And as you know, temperance is just all about how we conduct ourselves both in the community and also, you know, at home when we're just with ourselves and just wanting to be the best version of ourselves. And so whenever I'm offering service to the community or to an individual, a small business, like whenever I say the name of my business, it's a reminder to me that I want to present myself in the best way and offer the best level of customer service that I can. And just always strive to be a better version of myself every day.
That's beautiful. And that's a key, for, you know, the whole theme of obviously this podcast in general, all the episodes live well long. So being the best version we can of ourselves every day, you know, like say, you know, ditch the idea of competition. The only competition can be between yourself today and who you were yesterday. So just that constant renewal. What can I do today better than yesterday? Yeah. Wow.
And in that, there's also the reality that we don't always get it right. And some days are better than others when we're trying to hit that goal, and how to manage that, how to not be so hard on ourselves for not hitting the mark that day, how to be forgiving of ourselves when we've done something that may not have been a representative of who we are normally, and taking the lessons from that and how we can apply that to being better the next day.
Yeah. Forgiveness is one of the key things that I teach and share in my work. And it begins also forgiving ourselves for, you know, falling short of who we think we should be in any given moment, you know, and just self-love is huge. Self-love. And then of course, once we do that, then we can be there for other people as well. So it's
starts in here.
Absolutely. Wow. And then you mentioned that you're a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority.
Yes.
So what can you share us about that?
So Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated is one of nine, and the nickname is Divine Nine. We are all like Black service oriented organizations.
Okay.
And we stand on the pillars of sisterhood, scholarship, and service. And so we were established on Christian principles.
Uh-huh.
And we have been around since 1913.
Oh.
And so it is an honor to be part of this organization and to serve our community through this organization in the many ways that there is, because there's all so much work to do.
Amen. Yeah, certainly. Wow. Wonderful. So you've got so much that you give, which is wonderful. I love your victorious story. And
thank you.
Keep giving too, which is wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
Yes.
So you have a free gift for folks. You want to share what that is?
Yes. So one of the things that I offer through my company is whenever someone is interested in learning new things about technology, I like to have a conversation with them to find out what it is they want to learn and the best way to get them that information. And so there is a 30-minute consultation that I offer to anyone who is interested. And sometimes within that time, we can answer the question that they have, or we can show them what they want to learn. So there may not need to be any additional consultations or services offered. So I do have the link here where you can register, or anyone can register for a free 30-minute consultation and learn something new.
All right.
So, great.
Yes. And I'll put the link in the notes, but you can go to calendly.com/ Kiasi Tech Solutions. And Kiasi is spelled KIASI Tech, TECH, Solutions, plural. And
yes.
You can get your free gift, which is a free consultation with Simone. Wonderful,
yes.
Wonderful. Awesome, yes. Awesome. And the donor websites will all be in the show notes as well. Well, thank you so
yes.
much. This has been wonderful. And I honor your path. What a wonderful path you've blazed, and you're leading others in.
Thank you so much. I really do appreciate you giving me this opportunity. This is just another step in the journey. This is me stepping out of my comfort zone to talk to you today, to be recorded. I'm usually very shy about being on video.
Well, you look and sound wonderful. So
thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
You're very welcome. So glad to have you. Thank you so much. And we'll talk again soon.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. This is Alexandra with Live Well Long. Be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss any of our important episodes. We want to be sure that you get everything you can to do your best to live well long. Feel free to reach out to me at alex@avhcoaching.com. And remember to take good care of yourself so that you live well long. Talk with you soon. Bye. Hey, psst, it's Alexandra. One more thing. Would you please share this on Facebook, Twitter, send an email to your friends? Just hit the share link and pick a way to share it. I would love it. Thank you so much. Bye.